Who's going to take the garbage out? Has that question ever been asked in your family? Maybe. Who is going to take the garbage out? For years, it was never really asked in mine. I was the default and dutiful trash taker-outer. Mostly because I was the youngest of four and probably the most energetic and maybe had something to do with fire. But being sick and tired of being the trash man for years without appreciation, one day I had a transformational idea. I would stop. Then we would see who would take out the trash. Well, things looked a little better on paper than in real life. One day it got so bad that our kitchen smelled to high heaven. With my ingenious idea on the verge of collapsing, I took the bag of trash out from underneath the sink, tied it up, and then set it on the porch for somebody else in my family to take it out. Kind of subtle hint. That didn't work either. In fact, nothing worked. Week after week, the frustrating question was asked, who is going to take the garbage out? Well, if you were following along in that Old Testament lesson, there's a man named Zechariah, and he feels my pain. Now, if you go way back in the Old Testament, Zechariah is living in a place called Persia, over there in the Far East. He's living in Persia toward the end of the 6th century B.C. Now get that, that's 500 B.C. That's 500 years before Christ was born. And he's a prophet in this kind of strange foreign land. And he's overwhelmed, if you were kind of reading in between the lines, he's overwhelmed with mounds and mounds of spiritual garbage. And I think you and I know what that looks and smells like, right? Well, in Zechariah chapter 3, there's Joshua the high priest. He's said to be wearing filthy garments even. How filthy? Well, the word in Hebrew denotes excrement that he's wearing. In chapter 9, Zechariah describes these people called Philistines so dirty that they have blood in their mouths and abominations between their teeth. Disgusting. Now, I don't even know what that even means. I'm guessing it means they have like food stuck in their teeth or something. In chapter 11, this prophet writes that the cedar trees on the all around them have fallen. And the glorious trees are all ruined. It's a mess. Now, who is going to clean up this mess? Well, Zechariah continues in chapter 12, and he sees something even more strange, if you're kind of following, a blazing pot in the midst of piles of wood and a flaming torch among sheaves of wheat. Now, this is probably why people get confused with the Old Testament. It sounds like he's going to need an industrial-sized vacuum for all this stuff. Who is going to take all this garbage out? All this garbage of people living contrary to God's plan. Who is going to take all this garbage out? The Lord will. Pretty obvious. He's going to appoint two women. And it's said in our reading that they have wings like storks. So these probably aren't ordinary women. Wings like storks, big birds. Yes, storks, as the text states. They lifted up a basket between earth and heaven. Okay, now this is getting really strange. So let's stop before we get ahead of ourselves. This is the seventh of Zechariah's eight visions. Now, people don't normally experience visions like this today. Maybe they were dreams. And this is the seventh of eight that he had, talking of God. And the Lord's messenger shows this prophet a basket. Think of it maybe as a garbage can. The prophet, Zechariah, raises his eyes and he sees a lead weight on top of this basket or garbage can, kind of holding it down, probably to keep the stench out. And surprise, inside there is a woman sitting inside. Not really a real woman, but symbolically a woman inside who's called the wickedness. Now, this is getting stranger and stranger, I know, but Zechariah raises his eyes again to this vision that he has in his head, and this time only he looks a second time, probably because it's strange, probably because it's a complex vision. You think? Maybe. So just then, this woman inside the garbage can tries to get out, and the messenger throws her back in and slams the lid over on top, holding her down with lead. Zechariah sees two more women with wings like storks, and this leads to our text. They lifted up the lid, the basket, between earth and heaven. The stork-like women take the trash can with the woman in all the way over to the land of Shinar, it's called. Okay. My hunch is that you have a question or two. Now, if I had to, granted, follow along a little bit more closely before I actually preach this to you. So let's begin with this one. Who is the messenger, first of all? Who is the messenger that's talking about all this vision? He is the Lord's messenger, the pre-incarnate Christ. So get that, pre-incarnate. Well, what does incarnate mean? To be made flesh. This is Jesus in the Old Testament, people. This is before he was born as a little baby in a manger. God, Christ, was still present in the Old Testament as in this vision. The same word that was spoken in Genesis 1, the same word that was spoken in the burning bush to Moses, that was the pre-incarnate Christ. And here he is, the Lord's messenger. He has complete authority over this wicked woman. And she tries to get out of the garbage can to make even a bigger mess. But the messenger slams the lid on top of her. Okay, so if we got that, the messenger. Okay, who is the woman then stuck in the garbage can? It's not Oscar the Grouch, that's for sure. Zechariah calls her the wickedness. Now this is getting interesting. She is symbolically standing in the place for Babylonian idolatry. Now, if you were tracking in the Old Testament, the people of God in Israel were deported, really, to the land of Babylon. It's kind of modern-day Iraq. Really, punishment for being unfaithful to God. 70 years they were deported into Babylon. It was like you and I today, instead of celebrating the 4th of July, being taken over and forced to live in the rest of our lives in a foreign country. For no good reason. Maybe. Okay, so the wickedness stands for idolatry. It's trash. Now, what does it mean that Zechariah, this Old Testament prophet, about having a woman stuck in a can? Well, I know for sure that he's not prejudiced against females, so we can be calm about that. He's not prejudiced against anybody. So we got these two people, the messenger and bad stuff, trash. But what does this vision really mean? Why is it important? How can it even relate to us? Well, this idolatry, this basically unfaithfulness, putting something more important in God, it's placed in this container and lifted up by storks. Now, if you were kind of maybe following maybe children's stories, where do we see storks? They're delivering babies, yeah. Maybe because they're pretty, they're white birds, I don't know, but mostly because I think they got huge wings. They can actually get off the ground with something heavy. So storks are, they're known for their strong wings and actually their long migrations. Kind of like Canada geese. So they return to this Babylon place and they pick up the trash and they're going to take it far and far away. That's the symbol of having a stork do this. Now, all this is to say, in very picturesque language, is that the Lord, God, is going to take out the garbage. Now, I guess he probably could have simply said that, but I think it's more cool to see this in vision. The Lord is going to take the garbage out here. Garbage, you see, is a good way to describe idolatry in the Bible. Garbage is a good way to talk about our sinfulness. Garbage is a way of talking about all the negative things that we have in our lives. It's garbage. We don't need it. Just think of the mess that we cause when we worship something that's more important than God. Just think of the mess that we cause in our lives when we worship maybe the god Eros, the mythical god Eros, the god of sexual pleasure. Or how about Dionysus, the god of wine and self-indulgence? Or how about the false god of Mammon, the god of wealth? Or how about the false god Prometheus, the god of human power and achievement? Or what if we instead worship Mars, the false god of war, the god of race, the god of nation, of pride? Sexuality, wealth, our country, and all these different things, they're not evil, don't get me wrong. They're not evil in and of themselves. They're God-given gifts. But you see, there is a temptation for each and every one of us to take good things from God and then turn them into ultimate things in which we worship and depend on. To take valuable things and make them the supreme thing in our life. To turn our affection and then turn them into adoration. So, we got trash that needs to be taken out. The same thing kind of happened, if you think about it, in our own country. A couple hundred years ago, we had trash that needed to get taken out. We needed a revolution. So we had the Revolutionary War. We had people demanding their own wills over us as individuals. The British. We didn't want them. Take out the trash. So we fought a war over it. But yet today we can kind of recall that and yet not be overly prideful because we needed to have trash taken out. The problem in our lives, I think, is when we have something that's more important to us than our faith. Now, I think that's an easier thing to happen to us today. You see, once anything or maybe anyone other than God, once that happens, and once they become the innermost part of our heart, the most important thing, we begin to tell ourselves that we can't live without it. We can't live without even the person. We cave in on God's commandments. We rationalize our recklessness. We wreck our relationships. And we do significant harm even to ourselves just to get what we want and whatever feels good. So today we find ourselves again in 2017 AD, smack dab in the middle of another huge mess that we made ourselves. And we're ourselves, no matter how spiffy and on our Sunday best we look right now, we're rummaging through toxic waste in our lives. And we're trying to find that idol that we weren't quite ready to part with. That sin that we're not quite done doing. So, when we're in this position, who is going to take out the garbage? What do you think? Jesus. The Lord will. I hope so. He promises. The Lord will, through his appointed means of grace. Which, in the case of this Old Testament Zechariah and his vision, it means through women like storks. Yet, long before our text was in God's heart to take away this rotten, rancid garbage, the same kind of idea was going on in the Bible earlier. So this is the Old Testament prophet Zechariah. If you look way back in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, the same thing was going on there. Right in the beginning, there was a tradition, a man called Moses, I think we know him, and it was called the Day of Atonement. When there was a high priest, there was a priest, one person designated to take all of Israel's sins and put them on a sacrificial goat. Now, we don't have to do that, thank God, today, but this was called the garbage goat, or, maybe familiar, the scapegoat. That's how we get that, from the Bible. There was a scapegoat where we would put all of our sins on it, we would force it to go in the wilderness and die. Get that garbage out. That was Old Testament stuff. It's a little bit weird. Standing in the same tradition, we have Jesus, God's messenger in Zechariah's vision. And he reveals his authority over our trash. The messenger didn't just talk about taking out the trash. He actually stepped into our filth. God stepped into our world of trash, and he did something. There was once a landfill called Golgotha. A landfill. Golgotha was called the place of the skull. And it was filled with rotting flesh of people and the stench of death. It was a landfill for people. And it was the place where dead bodies of criminals were thrown. They weren't even given the respect of being buried. You see, corpses hung there for days, sometimes weeks, often being consumed by birds and animals. It was not a good place to be. And it was there that Jesus, our Lord, hung, bleeding, gasping, crying, and even dying. Commenting on this trash taker outer, John writes, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's what's going on today in 2017 when we need trash that gets taken out. God already is doing it. God already has done it. Now, to help us kind of really kind of chew on that some more, I want to point you to something a little bit more friendly. If you were a young person, maybe you even heard of him. There's a children's author named Shel Silverstein, kind of named for, I think, The Giving Tree. Well, he had another book called Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout, and she would not take the garbage out. Now, listen to this. Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout would not take the garbage out. She'd scour the pots and scrape the pans, candy the yams and spice the yams. And though her daddy would scream and shout, she simply would not take the garbage out. So it piled up to the ceiling, coffee grounds and potato peelings, brown bananas, rotten peas, and chunks of sour cottage cheese. It filled the can, it covered the floor, it cracked the window and blocked the door with bacon rinds and chicken bones, dripping ends of ice cream cones. The garbage rolled on down the hall. It raised the roof. It broke the wall. And finally, Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout said, "Okay, I'll take the garbage out." But then, of course, it was too late. The garbage reached across the state, from New York City to the Golden Gate. Oh, yes. Someday, it might be a little too late for us when we need to take the garbage out. It will be too late for us, but that doesn't mean that something can't still be done. About Zechariah's basket and messenger, that wicked woman in the lid, the storks, they all point us to something more. They all point us to God. They all point us to our Lord and Savior, who ultimately can give us freedom. Not just freedom over nations, over people, but freedom over what is most important and most hazardous to us. Sin and death and the devil, evil. God has power over that, and God has set us free. Well, if we don't quite have that sunk in quite yet, we'll soon do that. Our last hymn for the day is pretty special. It was in 1835, and a woman named Charlotte Elliott composed a hymn called Just As I Am. And we're going to sing that because feeling the garbage of guilt and the shame in her life, she composed this hymn because she believed that it only could be met and conquered by the grace of God. Taking pen and paper, she composed Just As I Am to announce the cleansing grace for herself and for you. It starts just like this, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. What a promise. Just as you are, God will have you and God will take you and God will take care of you. He already has and He already will continue to. So, when you're out and about this week, this year, this life, when your garbage starts to overflow, hopefully not to the other side of the country, just remember, who is going to take out the trash? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.